I usually have about two or three whole packs of Mentos that I eat to keep me awake. I ran out. So usually my wife's there to kick me in the ribs or to elbow me, but she wasn't. I apologize, preacher. It's like, great. I actually doze off when pastor's wife's right there. Of course she's going to tell on me. Well, I caught myself dozing off, and usually if I wake up, it's because I'm snoring. I was like, great. I probably, did you hear me snore, Miss Teen? She goes, yes. I'm like, okay. All right, turn your Bibles with me to Hosea 10. Hosea chapter 10. I was glad to be able to have Sunday school this morning with the teenagers. I've really missed them. They seem to be really excited about the new remodeled, renovated youth department down there. I'm excited that they're excited. We had a pretty full class. Just really exciting. See young people just hungry and involved and engaged. They all do. We do sword drills with them, and Caitlin was the champ. I told the boys, I said, you guys lost to a girl. Better start learning your Bibles a little better, where stuff's at. You're never going to win a sword drill if you have to turn to the table of contents every time, you know. Hosea chapter 10. We'll be in the 12th verse, but before we read that text, I want to share a story that I read out of a book called The Reckless Love of God. And when I read it, God really used a phrase in this to really speak to my heart, and I want to share that with you guys. The writer says this, in 2007, he shares his own story from his life. He says, in 2007, my wife and I moved to London so I could pursue a Master of Arts degree in biblical interpretation. We lived there on campus in a cozy northwestern neighborhood of Northwood. It was an exciting time, especially because we were pregnant with our first child. We wondered what it would be like to have our first baby in London. But one night, Jana woke up and she knew something wasn't right with the baby. So they were really scared, called the doctor, and they said, we'll come in the morning. All night long, he fought back tears, and they were just scared. And they made their way to the doctor, but the problem was, is when they got to the hospital, no one was there. It was basically empty. And they walked through hallway after hallway just to discover that they were at the wrong hospital. And so they had to go find another hospital. They had to take a cab to another hospital. And by the time they got there, they had to wait for hours for the doctor to finally see him. And by the time they were able to see the doctor, they give her a sonogram and said, there's the baby. And just as coldless as could be, the doctor said, no heartbeat. You know, that just crushed them. They left. They had no money to get back because they'd already spent it all on taxis. They couldn't get back, and it was pouring down rain. And all they were doing was weeping, and the rain was just washing the tears off their face, and they couldn't tell what was rain, what was tears. They were devastated, broken, and at that moment, God spoke to him, and he was very careful about that, because you'll hear people say, God spoke to me quite often, and he just wanted to make sure that he really heard God, and God told him this. He said, Alex, you reap what you sow. Your heart is tilled up. You can either sow seeds of hatred, distrust, and resentment, or you can sow seeds of faith, hope, and love. Your future is being shaped in this moment. And he stopped and he told his wife, Jana, what he thought God was saying to him. And he said, what should we do? She replied through tears, let's sow right seeds. And of course, it still took them time to deal with this brokenness and this grieving and this hurt. But it was during that time that they had to choose what kind of seeds they were going to sow in their life. He calls his dad up, and his dad says, what'd you name your son? He says, well, we didn't think about that. This would be really important for you to name him. I think you should call him Adam. Because Adam wasn't an it, he was his son. So he called him Adam. And we must be keenly aware of those times in our lives when we're hurting and we are in pain, because it's during those times that we want to lash out at God And what the Holy Spirit told these two people, Alex and Jana, he's already told us often throughout the scriptures. In our text here in Hosea 10:12, it says this: sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. In other passages of scripture, you hold your place there because we'll turn back later. Psalm 126, 5 through 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He goeth forth and weepeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Ecclesiastes 11, 6, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Isaiah 32, 20, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. James 3, 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And in these passages of Scripture, they do not convey hearts that are hardened or indifferent toward God, but hearts that have been plowed up by God's providential dealings and workings of the Holy Spirit within their heart. They were given choices to sow in love or hate, plant seeds of purpose or seeds of vanity. One thing we can be certain of, we do reap what we sow. And God really spoke to me after hearing that that chapter, and it reminded me of all the times where I was broken and I was hurt. And it's during those times your heart's tilled up. So what are you going to do in those times? Are you going to sow right seeds? Are you going to sow bad seeds? And God wants us, we see in Hosea 10, verse 12, God wants us to plow up our fallow ground. That's what he says in verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is a term that you can get farmers arguing about. Because if you tell them, well, fallow ground is ground that hasn't been tilled, they say, no, it's not. It's been tilled, but it's not been sown. They can be either or, just so everybody understands. Fallow ground is ground that has been left uncultivated for a year or more, that's not been seeded. Or it's been cultivated, it's just not been seeded. In both conditions, the field is being left unseeded. The land of opportunity is being neglected. And what I want to say is this, is that we don't want to waste a broken heart. Don't waste a broken heart. Alex goes on early to, his name's Alex Early. He goes on later to tell about how years later he was in his office in church, and he had one of those moments where he began thinking of Adam. And he began to cry. And so he opened up the Bible and he began to search through passages of Scripture. And he thought, you know, I'm going to go to Job, because Job was a broken man. Job was suffering. How did God deal with Job? So he turn with me, hold your place in Hosea. Let's look at Job 38. This is how God dealt with Job. And when he read this, his response was a little bit reactive, I would definitely say, but understandable. Job 38, verse 3 and 4. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, and continue to read. And all he saw from God and dealing with Job was God, instead of giving him answers, he actually questioned Job. And he thought to himself in that very moment, he was looking for comfort, but instead he got questioned. So he got furious at God. He took his Bible, he threw it up against the wall, and he says, that's how you comfort someone, God? You're a bully. And he began to weep, put his head down in his arm, and just wept. After several minutes, those questions that God asked Job began to pour over him. They began to wash over him. And he realized that God wasn't questioning Job to put him in his place as a bully, but to give him a better perspective, to make Job realize that God doesn't often answer us, he often gives us himself. The truth is, we can't handle the answers. He's God. He sees so much more than we do. And if he was to tell us the answer, I don't think we could understand it or take it. Instead, he says, here, hold on. I'm there with you while you suffer. Why does God allow breaking? I've discovered in my life, at least for me personally, it's often to remove things that I've trusted in, that he might teach me to trust in him. He breaks my heart so that he might break up the hard ground that needs cultivated and tenderized once more. So not only we shouldn't waste a opportunity, the opportunity of a broken heart. We should not waste that opportunity to sow right seeds. That's what the Bible tells us again in Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Righteousness simply means doing the right thing with the right heart. When you're hurting, it's easy to find reasons to do the wrong thing to bring yourself comfort. That's what we normally do. When we're hurting, we want to comfort ourselves. But usually, those wrong things that we use to comfort ourselves only temporarily relieve the suffering. They don't provide long-term lasting effects, and they certainly don't work God's righteousness. This thing's a little slow. My notes are here. I should have printed these out, so I apologize. Other times, you know, what would that look like? Comfort food is one of my weaknesses. I like to get a big bowl of ice cream. Well, I like to do that anyway if I'm in a bad mood or a good mood. That might not be a good example. But maybe you lash out at your loved ones, or maybe you turn to an addiction, or maybe in some cases, some rash decisions people make is they dissolve marriages, or they quit jobs, or they quit their church because they're hurting and they're sowing the wrong seeds during those times of pain. I've seen it. And I know you guys have seen it, where people are hurting and they begin making these rash decisions that are going to affect their futures for years to come. Jeremiah 8:18 says, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me." I thought this was interesting. I was reading and meditating on this verse today. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, those times where your heart's broken, he was trying to encourage his heart, but he said his heart just wasn't able to do it. Have you ever been in a position like that where you were just depressed? You tried encouraging yourself, you tried lifting up your spirits, and you found that you were unable to do it? I have. Jeremiah found this, that nothing on earth could comfort him in his point of sorrow. He couldn't encourage his heart anymore. It was broken, and there was nothing he was going to be able to do about it. And that's okay. When we find ourselves in those positions, it's because God's doing the breaking. You might be surprised to learn that the famous C.H. Spurgeon was one who suffered many bouts of depression. And he wrote this, "When I was exceedingly ill in the south of France and deeply depressed in spirit, so deeply depressed and so sick and ill that I scarce knew how to live, one of those malicious persons who commonly haunt all public men and especially ministers sent me anonymously, I can't even say it, a letter openly directed to that unprofitable servant, C.H. Spurgeon. And this letter contained tracts directed to the enemies of the Lord Jesus with passages marked and underlined with notes applying them to me. He says, how many Rabshakehs have in their day written to me? Ordinarily, I read them with the patience which comes of use, and they go to light the fire. I do not look for exemption from this annoyance, nor do I usually feel it hard to bear. But in the hour when my spirits were depressed and I was in terrible pain, this reviling letter cut me to the quick." And it's during those times of weakness the devil likes to shoot the fiery darts against us. He knows when we're down and he knows when we're out. So he likes to take those opportunities to let fly those fiery darts from hell. And usually they'll strike us and we'll begin to sow seeds that will bring a bad harvest. What Spurgeon found out when he began to examine the unprofitable servant, God reminded him of something that Jesus, the Savior, died on the cross for the unprofitable servant too. And if you guys who know Spurgeon, he definitely wasn't unprofitable. God used him in many mighty ways. But He found out that the cure for the broken heart was to look to the broken heart of Jesus. He may be an unprofitable servant, but at least Christ died for that unprofitable servant. So the trick to sowing bright seeds when everything in you is crying out in anguish is to look to Christ. He loves you when you're at your highest, and he loves you when you're at your lowest. That's the thing about the love of God. It does not budge. It does not move. I'm glad to know that he loves me, even me. Whether I'm doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing, he still loves me. It is time to seek the Lord. When we're hurting, we tend to seek our own comforts, but that is not what the Bible tells us to do. We are told to seek the Lord, not tomorrow, not when we feel better about ourselves or our circumstances, but now. It is time to seek the Lord. When you have a broken heart, and that's when it's time to seek the Lord. It's not time to pout. It's not time to get dejected. It's time to say, okay, God. I think the one we can look to learn what it happens when God has broken your heart is Saul. Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee. In Acts 9, 1 through 6, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is when Paul is breathing out threatening and slaughter against the apostles, against the disciples, and he meets Jesus for the first time. He gets knocked off his horse. At least the Bible never says he was on a horse, but we always say he fell to the ground. It's likely he was on a horse, but either way, he gets knocked down to the ground and his whole world gets shattered around him. It says in verse 3 of Acts 9, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. You know, the Bible says he went and got letters to go to Damascus. I'm waiting for those letters to Damascus as well. You know, I really want to get demasked. Tired of the masks. You guys see that meme on Facebook? No? Okay, you guys if you see that one, you'll know what I'm talking about then. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We have no better picture of a man whose heart was hardened to the proper ways of the Lord than Saul the Pharisee. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the followers of Christ. You know what he was doing? He was sowing wrong seeds until God broke his heart. His whole world crumbled. I mean, think about it. He was striving for religious excellence in his circle of people. He was a rising star among the Pharisees. There's no one smarter than Paul. He was going to outwork them all till that day. He was really worried about making a name for himself, but after God broke his heart, he began worrying about making the name of Jesus known instead of his own name. What did Saul do with his newly tenderized heart? He asked the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So when you have a broken heart, it's good to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And maybe ask this, to whom do you want me to minister? There's nothing that gets yourself out of the flesh more than loving others when you're hurting. The flesh wants to pout. The flesh wants to say, oh me, oh my. But the Bible tells us we've been set at liberty not to serve ourselves, but to serve others. And when we begin doing that, we start to forget about our problems. We start to forget about what was paining us to begin with. The Bible says, again, back in Hosea 10, verse 12, reap in mercy till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Where we are today is because of the choices we made along life's way. What condition our hearts are in, what condition our lives are in, result from the choices we made when sowing seeds during those times of breaking. I wish I could say I always sowed the right seeds, but I haven't. But what the prophet Hosea is saying is this, if you break up your fallow ground, if you take the opportunity God provides in the breaking of your heart to do the right thing, you get a sense of His mercy. And then the day will come, your life is surrounded by righteousness. The harvest will come. I found this to be true in those moments of weakness. If I'll just seek Him. Going, this thing clicked two pages over. God wants us to break up our fallow, untilled, unseeded ground. He wants us to sow the right seeds, and that's gospel seeds. That requires the willingness on our part to get our hearts and hands dirty again. Found this to be true too. When you get hurt, what do? What's the first thing you do when you get hurt by someone? What's the first reaction? Lash out. Why? What's the purpose of lashing out? Get even? To get the one hurting you away from you? Create distance between you and the one causing pain? We call that building a wall. It's really what it is. When we get hurt, we want to put this castle, this fortress around us to say, stay out. Because we don't like getting broken. But God wants us broken. You know, older churches and newer churches, the biggest difference, I'm talking about new church plants. A new church plant grows exponentially compared to older churches. You know why? Because that new church doesn't have all that hurt, all that brokenness, all that, those walls aren't built yet. Yet. That's important to say, because over time what happens? Hurt. Brokenness. And then they begin building those walls, and that growth begins slowing down. Older churches, listen, that verse is for older churches. Saying, hey, break up your fallow ground. Churches go through periods where they have growth and periods where they get hurt. God wants us to be able to be willing to be hurt. One of the things Pastor told me when I first met him was that he had to learn to say, I love you enough to allow you to hurt me. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget what Pastor Maxie told me too when I was complaining about ministry. He said, well, you're new to the ministry, but I want you to understand that ministry would be great if it weren't for people. You know what he's trying to tell me? You got to love people. And loving people means you're going to get hurt. Now, wisdom would say you don't want to let certain people too close. Wisdom would say, Jesus even had a circle. He had an inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and the whole 12, then after that, the 70, so on and so forth. But he still made time for people. And look at the reality. Peter, one of the three, betrayed him. He was still willing to be hurt. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Don't waste opportunity to get hurt because souls are in the balance. We've got to build the gospel bridge to people. And I want to tell you what it's not. It's not taking a tract to them and going, you need to be saved. It may be. Don't get me wrong. It may be. But what I'm saying is there are people there that require more effort than that because they've heard it before. What they need is us to love them and us to build that relationship to talk to them about the gospel. I'm all for it if the door is open to plant the seed, but I don't know if you guys have noticed the gospel field is really hardened. That's because we're going to have to be willing to get our hands dirty again and love them again and be willing to be hurt by them. Get our hands dirty. That's what God wants us to do. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to tell you we love you, Lord, and help us, Lord, during those times of hurt, those times of brokenness, to do the right thing, to sow the right seeds. Help us to be willing to be used of you, even if that means to be broken, so that others may live and come to know you for salvation. Give our pastor strength this week and his family, Lord, as they go through these storms, as Amber's newborn child is in the hospital. We pray that you'll lay your hand upon that baby and make her healthy, Lord, and let her grow to be healthy, Lord. And we just want to tell you we love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh yeah, I can't forget to say that. Be Jesus. Right? Have a good week. Have a great week is what Pastor always says.